This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Hey, good morning. It is Party Line Thursday edition, July 3rd edition, Independence Day. Got a little Bad Medicine going on in the background, Bon Jovi. Can't beat that. That's one of those rocking songs that happened at the gym or at the football stadium. Anyway, no Bad Medicine here today. We're only going to give you some good stuff. The weather especially, it's going to be great. We're going to see a high today of 88 tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 68. And then tomorrow, Independence Day, mostly sunny with a high of 89. They're saying calm and calm winds and clear skies. You're going to be able to see the fireworks. It's going to be a beautiful day. Make sure you make the best of it for sure. We'll give you the rest of the forecast a little bit later. Want to thank all of our Party Line sponsors, TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Marshan's Window Tinting in Antioch. We stick it where the sun shines. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big Old Tires in Lebanon. Big deals, save money now, 24/7. We love bigdeals.com. BoonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news source for Lebanon and Boone County. CarrollCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news service for Delphi and Flora. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper for everywhere else in Clinton County and really pretty much the universe. 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Shoup's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big Old Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoup's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard counties, Simplify Family Dental and Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, all bringing you the Hoosierland TV broadcast that you can see streaming, and I believe we are now streaming. Yes, we are. So make sure you check us all out. We got a great show for you today. We've got Hannah Daniels coming in, 4-H Extension Educator of Clinton County. It's all things 4-H. We're in that month. It's we talked to Hillary Guffey the other day and talked about the fair. Today we're going to be talking about 4-H, but before we do all of that, we got our president of the commissioners, Mr. Jordan Brewer, is in studio with us, going to talk all things commissioners in Clinton County and maybe even talk a little farming today. Good morning, Jordan. Thanks for being with us today. Hey, we were talking a little off air about farming. You, of course, that's your real job.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that basically pays the bills, takes care of your family. You're talking about drones. It's amazing the technology that agricultural technology has come a long way.
Significantly. Yeah. I don't think people, unless you're in it daily or have a family member or someone around it, understand how much it dictates what we do on a daily basis and just the automation that goes on around us to plant, to harvest, to move grain from storage to a merchandiser. I mean, it's just consistently and constant. Now, can it be done without all of that? Yeah, yeah. It can be done without all of that, right. But it's made things so much more efficient.
I know you guys, there's not a competition out there. So, well, there's maybe the underlying competition of getting the crops in and out, but really it's about what you guys have. You got whatever acreage that you have. It's about that yield and what you're wanting to better yield. And of course you want to do it at a faster pace time so that you can go get other things done on the farm.
Well, but I think honestly, it's usually about the weather.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's speed to get it done because before. At some point the weather's not going to cooperate, both, you know, spring and fall. Yeah. Like that's always the kicker.
Well, I'm looking at the corn right now. It's unbelievable. I can't believe how tall the corn is. I mean, yeah. I know the weather conditions were pretty right for that because we had a lot of moisture and then heat. And that's pretty good for corn, right? Is that good things for
Yeah, them? Yeah. Things have just generally started to look much better. And I can speak for my area in particular. You know, we had on our farm, we had record rain in June. We were over 12 inches. And most of that coming within like a 14-day period, which is never good. So there's a lot of drowned out in holes. But I know many people, what we have like heat advisory and all of that last week, but it was phenomenal for the crops because we just have been kind of cloudy and wet, and we needed to dry out and have those roots get deeper. And now you see the fruits of that, the crop's taken off.
Okay, so does that mean, because my wife and I were having this conversation the other day driving down, are you going to be able to harvest earlier? I mean, does that necessarily mean that it's going to grow and mature quicker, or is that not the case?
No, not necessarily.
So you're still in that harvest time zone of September, October?
I mean, no, it's not. We're actually behind.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, so... there's something called GDUs. It's like growing degree units, and it kind of tracks from the time that you plant and each hybrid that we plant. So for you, you just see corn out there, right?
Yeah.
But for us, there's different maturities. Like they call them like 109-day, 12-day, 16. And that's when it gets to physiological maturity. And it has a GDU of how many growing degree units it needs to reach that.
Okay.
We were actually running 50 to 75 to 100 GDUs behind. Now, I haven't updated it to see this heat, but there, middle of June, we were running behind.
Wow, crazy. Well, okay, farming is amazing, but you're also, we're trying to grow Clinton County, you know, more than just crops. We're trying to grow. Of course, now with a lot of the laws changed and a lot of the legislation, we used to chase a lot of businesses and things, but now it's people. Because we were talking about that the other day.
We were, and I've had that conversation multiple times now out in the community, and we still don't know exactly what it looks like, right? Because SB1...
Doesn't go into effect until next year or the year after?
Yeah, it phases in over time. Yeah. And so, in reality, 26 is kind of already set. 27 and 28 is where we'll really start to see those changes. But as you mentioned... we had always talked about, you know, assessed value. We got to grow assessed value. And for the people watching and listening, just think of it as a pie. And every taxpayer, tax entity participates in the whole of that pie. Well, the more assessed value means everyone's slice that they have to contribute, in theory, is less. Well, now they've changed the whole rules of the game.
Yep.
And so now it's going to be driven a little bit more on income tax, which is based on people. And so now we have to shift as we've had this conversation. We're working through what that dynamic looks like for economic growth for Clinton County, because now they've changed the rules of the game on us.
Well, and the challenge too is that where we live, we're in that geographical location that you've got Kokomo, Lafayette, Indianapolis, and everything's kind of growing in. But we're not necessarily, again, like you said, chasing the businesses. You're trying to get the housing, and we had a meeting yesterday about a project that we're trying to get accomplished, you know, in town, and bringing housing is so important, and amenities. Those are two big areas of focus now, because which was always an area of focus, but maybe not as much of chasing the business.
Yeah, and I think kind of the phrase I've started using in some of these early meetings we've had about economic development is, now we want to be the place people live. Like, you know, if they live here and go work in Lebanon and Leap, or they go to Lafayette or Kokomo, that's fine.
The income tax is following.
Yeah. Now, you know, the challenge that it'll always be is when they change the rules of the game again.
Yeah.
So you're always... I think that's the piece that people kind of miss, and this whole SB1, when it went down in terms of property tax relief, you know, at the state level, they collect no property tax. It's all local.
Right.
But yet they're the ones making the rules of how it's done locally. Yeah.
Right.
And now they're essentially changing the rules on us, and we're just not nimble. Government's not nimble.
No.
I mean, that's just the reality.
Right.
And so now you have to... we've been going one direction.
Yep.
And now we have to change that whole path because the rules of the game have changed on us.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to bring a caller in. You want to get your headphones on there. Carl, I believe, is online. Good morning, Carl.
Hey, good morning, Shan, Mr. Burr. Mr. Burr, I went over to St. Louis for a week, and I didn't think the crops looked worth a dang. There's a few fields in Indiana look good, and there's a few fields in Illinois look good, but the corn was only about, I don't know, 6-7 inches tall, and this time of the year it'll be waist high. And a lot of the corn was yellow. What would turn that corn yellow?
Well, probably the number one thing, I'm guessing, if you went to St. Louis, because southern Indiana and into southern Illinois have been hit pretty hard with rain, is just lack of oxygen. The corn is over, the ground's oversaturated, so the roots, they can't breathe, right? And so then they just...
Drowning.
Yeah, and so then they start to drown out. And
will it come out of it? I hope it does.
It's hurt, but if... I mean, I think you've seen that locally. There was a lot of bad-looking crops here, and now that we've got...
There is. If you just get on the highway and drive from here to Lebanon, out where you live and go in Lebanon, you'll see good fields, you'll see bad fields. You'll see beans that's only 2-3 inches tall.
Yeah, and so now that we've gotten, I don't know, I think it's probably roughly 5, 6, 7, 8 days of without substantial moisture, things have started to green up a little bit, right? Because they can get oxygen, they can breathe, those roots aren't saturated all the time.
Right.
So this 90-degree weather we're getting, it's supposed to come in for a few days, and high humidity, if we don't get a rain, that could do damage to the crops too. Is that correct, or is that what you want?
We got a lot of rain.
Yeah, I mean... I'm not saying we couldn't use a little bit, but I'm not too concerned about the heat at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. I didn't have that. I live here in Frankfort. The most rain I had was 2 inches. That's the most, and that was only one time. Rest of the time, it was a half inch to a quarter.
Well, you were living in the garden spot, because we were getting 4 and 5 inches by me. So,
well, even on the north side, we were getting 6 or 7.
I forgot any of that. The highest I ever got was 2 inches. Now, another thing, Mr. Burr, our president is going to take all the free money that to give to these solar farms and windmills. It's gone. It's history. Will that hurt us with these solar farms we got here in Clinton County?
I would not think so, since it's established. Most of those subsidies are at the beginning of trying to get a project, from my understanding.
Yeah.
So I will say in some conversations that I've had, they try and indicate that new projects are, they don't need the subsidies. This is conversations I've had with other commissioners in other counties, because this has come up. I don't know if that's true or not.
And I can say, I can add to this, Carl, that to Jordan's point, yes, the Hardy Hills project was well underway and subsidized for what part of that they received from the federal side, and so that was built in, and now that they're on the grid. And their money is now being generated from generating power to the grid. Yeah. So
I was down at the airport, took my wife, and I was talking to those guys down there at the airport in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And they got solar panels all everywhere down there on those hills and everything. And I said, you guys get a lot of electricity out of these solar plants or these power things on the ground? And you know what they told me, Shan? They said it wouldn't supply a third of the electricity that this airport takes to run it. All them solar panels, and it's huge. It's huge. And it won't supply a third of the power.
Yeah, that was one of those earlier projects, too, that they came in. So I'm not too sure, you know, the efficiency level was the best. But, I don't disagree with that. It's just it was the opportunity to put to power some of that area and that infrastructure around the airport. But yeah, it takes a lot to run an airport, no doubt. I mean, just like it takes a lot to run the industrial park. The Hardy Hills project that would probably handle the city of Frankfort, but it wouldn't necessarily handle all of the industrial park. So even though it's a pretty big one, but it's just power that's going back to the grid. That's what we've been told, and that's what, if you look in research, it is going back to the grid and goes all over the place. So
yeah, Hey, one other thing I'll get over. Mr. Burr, they're making a lot of cuts with this big, beautiful bill, and there's going to be about 16 million people get kicked off of their Medicaid or whatever. I've never been on that stuff. I don't even know what it is. But anyway, they was talking about farm subsidizing the corn and the beans and everything. Have you heard anything about that? We need these crops, but if the farmers ain't going to make no money and going to lose money, they ain't going to plant them crops. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think they'll plant them either way, if I'm being honest. But the it gets a little misconstrued, and I don't know all the details, which I actually, last I kind of saw it, it had failed the vote back in the House this morning or overnight.
They're still trying to get it through.
Yeah. But what it has done from an agricultural perspective is it reworked some things with the current farm bill and tried to update those. So the last one was done, I think it was 2017 or 18, and it just tried to change some levels of base acres and stuff with crop insurance and all of those type of things. From an ag perspective, the educators that I follow haven't shared what that looks like exactly because it hasn't passed law. So I'm hesitant to go too deep on commenting on it other than, I think at the end of the day, you sometimes hear, those farmers they're living off subsidies and all that. None of us want to do that. Like, that is not the goal. But
you got to subsidize the farmer $12,000-$15,000 an acre ground.
Well, there's been so many dynamics that have changed in agriculture, and I'll just say this one thing: if we really step back and we think about it, what business goes and teaches their competitors how to do what they do? And that's what ag has done. We went
to Brazil, and they can grow corn in Brazil.
China, we go to China.
We can grow corn and beans.
Yep. And so we, over that 60s, 70s, and 80s, we went and taught the rest of the world how to be our competitors.
Yes. Yep. But corn was, I grew up with your grandfather, and Graham was only $300 an acre, and that was expensive.
Yeah.
That was expensive because we only made $100 a week money.
Yeah.
And we lived good. We lived good.
Well, you ate good.
You don't live good now because everything is so high, so expensive. And when you give raises out, when they put that stuff over here and you give tariffs, they're going to jack the prices up on that stuff. They're going to come right back to the consumer to pay for that kind of stuff. Well, one television station says this, another television station says this, and another one says I don't even know what to believe anymore. Well, they're all saying different things, and you try to figure out what's going on, This government is so big, you can't understand that. When you got 1,000 pages for this big, beautiful bill and everything, and just look at the state of Indiana. Buddy, when they came in here and they said, you're not going to get this, 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 and this, what did they do? They went and assessed the value of property because the schools didn't have enough money to pay what our Governor Braun said, they had to start them out at least $45,000. They didn't have the money. So they assessed all the values of property. They didn't go in your house and see how nice it was. They just go buy in a car. Well, this is this.
You bring up a lot of good points. What I'll say is I just put my head down. Not that I don't pay attention to what's going around. And both this is in my business as well as commissioner. I put my head down and go to work. And unfortunately, we're in both of those. We're generally speaking, what I'll use this term, we're price takers, not price makers. Mm-hmm. And so we will figure out the best solution based on the rules of the game that we've been given and do what we got to do. And that's all we can because we're not in a position to be making those laws or changing them. We're really just going to do what what we're told to do and figure out the best solution.
You know, that state level and the federal level. Hey, Carl, I appreciate you calling today.
Hey,
man.
I'll see you guys. Happy 4th.
All right, talk to you later. Carl Lane, always appreciate Carl and all of his input. You know, from federal cuts to state readjustment of the law and legislation and things, it does kind of trickle down on the local level. But like you said, we have to pivot. There's things that you have to do. The unfunded mandates that come down, those were the things that were a lot of those back in the 80s and the 90s, and they tried to kind of maybe suppress a little bit of that in the 2000s, but it still happens. You know, you make a good point, you know, keeping your head down and going. One of those things is, you know, as you govern Clinton County and look at those people that you're governing, not only the constituents, but you also operate over the employees, I mean, of Clinton County. And how, you know, that is so important. And one of the things I think I want to talk about with the time we have left is the annex building and being able to bring that to because I think sometimes people say, well, you know, money spent, but it is a beautiful building. I say the big, beautiful bill. I say the big, beautiful building because it is a beautiful building. I know you guys have had some issues with it, but it's bringing the employees into a just a much nicer environment. And I think from a perspective of a resident and a taxpayer, it makes me proud.
Well, thank you. I think there's a lot of dynamics to that.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of, and I've talked about this before, if you go back all the way to, it was 1996 when Clinton County government went down this path of exploring because we're bursting at the seams at the courthouse. Yeah. And if we really think about it, when the courthouse was built in the 1880s, 90s, I can't imagine they thought we'd probably still be using it in 2025.
Started with a cabin.
yeah. And so, but at the same time, if our courthouse, we want to restore and preserve it as well. Well, if it continues to have more wear and tear, it's harder to do. And then the experience as a taxpayer, whether you're going up to the treasurer's office, auditor's office, the surveyors, wherever it is, we wanted to enhance that as well. There's gaps there. I mean, we heard that. I hear it all the time in those experiences. And generally speaking, it's not with the people. It's with the facility and, you know, timeliness. And so this should hopefully create a better experience for everybody. But, you know, and at the end of the day, I've said this from the beginning, whether it's our job or not, we've looked at it like this. If we can enhance downtown Frankfort, then it makes our community stronger. And ultimately, the building that was there before was going to fall down over time and be a dilapidated building that no one could be proud of. No one was going to be able to have access to, and it was just going to be an eyesore.
Absolutely. And look, our building at the Iron Block, we were told by engineers several years ago, if you don't do this, this, and this, and this, you're going to have a building that's probably going to have to come down in 10 years or 15 years.
Yeah.
And the roof was bad. There was foundational issues. There was holes in the walls. I mean, all of these things that add up. And you have to make a decision when you're looking at all this. Okay, do you start all over, or do you do you just add on to this foundational wall that's not that great now? And I think that the right decision was made. I really think you make a point about the courthouse. I have brought developers over to the courthouse where, and again, everybody has a life issue, struggles and problems and trials. But when I'm bringing developers in and there's four or five orange suits coming out, you know, and sharing obscenities and things, it's not a good look trying to go to the surveyor's office or trying to go to the assessor's office to find out some information. And you're dealing with that. And I think the people of Clinton County deserve, you know, that opportunity to be separated from that situation.
Yeah, and that was we've had those conversations from the courts, and although I don't think it's a short-term issue, but ultimately an additional magistrate court working through voting and the vote center at the courthouse and how that would be cumbersome on everybody else there when we utilize that. So, I mean, there's just a lot of factors that went into it It wasn't like, oh yeah, we just woke up one day and decided this was a great plan. I mean, again, I go back to, there was conversations in the 90s, early 2000s, even all the way up to, I'm going to call it 2013, 14, and my years may not be exactly perfect, but when they had the opportunity to purchase the Regions building before the landlord, out of country landlord, purchased it. You know, they were looking at it. So it's not like this was a new phenomenon.
Yeah.
It just had boiled over, and this, we had the right people in right positions that we could all get our vision aligned to get something done.
Yeah. Well, you say you keep your head down and you're just trying to do the thing. What is the things that's keeping you up at night? What are those things that you're looking at like,
well, those are my kids mainly at the moment, to be completely honest.
And that should be the priority, that's for sure.
Well, I wish they would just sleep, so I'm physically not up all night. And my wife, especially with them, they're not great sleepers. So, you know, people ask me that, and I'm like, well, I am actually up all night, it feels like.
So what are you thinking about besides making sure the kids get back to sleep?
Well, I mean, honestly, it's getting this annex building wrapped up. I'll talk a little bit more even next week or 2 weeks. Because I think I'm going to be out at the fair. You know, we had a huge fairground project and trying to make all of it go. And then there's two or three projects, potential projects in the works. You know, there's things that from economic development to youth development that we have going on that you know about and those conversations. And then at the end of the day, it probably all circles back to what we talked about, navigating the rules of the game that have changed for us that we don't even know yet. There's still internally, our council's still waiting, probably sometime in August, that they'll get new projections of what this kind of new game looks like. And then how are we going to navigate that? So, I mean, it's a constant, I think the challenge that some people have is like, you have to be both present in all the stuff currently going on, and then you also have to have a little foresight out into a year or two, and then you have to have some foresight out into 3 to 5 years. And so when you navigate all those layers, and luckily we have a great team of commissioners and council, and we work well together, we can do such things like that. But it's I think people get confined to thinking, watching our meeting and the day-to-day stuff that happens, that there's not conversations of like looking forward, and we've got to figure out what looking forward looks like. And we've talked about some of that.
Yeah. And I think with the new formed PIP group, that, you know, that is where that opportunity lies in, and creating that vision. I know I do premarital counseling all the time, and we have a 1 year, 5 year, 10 year. What's your 1 year, 5 year, 10 year goal as a husband and wife, as a family? And if you don't have those goals in mind, you'll just pretty much do whatever the day brings you. You have to get beyond the day in your mind. I'm not saying that you don't deal with the operational stuff that you have to deal with, because you still got to deal with, oh, well, somebody called us and there's a cat in a tree somewhere out. I mean, you don't have to necessarily do that yourself, but those are the things, those are the complaints maybe that you listen to.
Yeah, and I mean, dealing with one today about a department in an office and they're not wanting to share a janitor. You know, those are the type of things that go on, the pettiness sometimes that has to flow in, and we have to get and manage on more of a daily basis. But as a taxpayer, do you really care about that in the grand scheme? No, but that's going to take time out of my schedule to figure out what's going on and why we've come to this discourse and how we're going to get a solution going forward. So, I mean, it's just, there's that constant, you know, daily stuff, but also, you know, at night is when I'm probably thinking about the future stuff, right? Because you get bogged down with the daily stuff. And then, you know, the nighttime or overnight is when I'm like, the ideas of like, all right, what do we need to improve next? Where's our next bottleneck or inefficiency at that we can become better and serve our taxpayers better? Going forward,
a couple of minutes left, Jordan. I think that, you know, you're spot on in being able to create the look beyond that 1 year, 5 year, or the day to day operations. And you know, our focus has been agriculture really over the years. And majority of the people, if you talk to people on the streets, they still want to see green. They want to see ag. They want to see. And that's a challenge in the sense of development, because everywhere around us is developing. and we want development, but we want the right development. And that's a challenge because, you know, sometimes the right development that we necessarily want, maybe they're looking at, well, you know, I can go down here and make a better deal, or I can go down here. It's but being able to filter through those developments and find the right one that is so important to part of this vision.
100%. And you know it better than anybody in terms of just fielding those economic development calls. And I say this all the time, and I say it as kind of a badge of honor. Like, we could be fully developed in the corridor if we chose to.
Warehouse. But,
warehouse or you know, probably even some other stuff that we weren't particularly fond of.
Right.
But we've been very patient and strategic in what we're willing to put there because, I mean,
to one,
I know
it
sounds cliche, but we have one interchange. And so it's not like, okay, we'll do this at the first one and then we'll go on to the second one and we'll focus more on, you know, retail or whatever, just different industry. So we kind of have to have that blend of a lot of different things all in one area and figuring out what that looks like. And I think there's some value in letting everything around us kind of shake out and see what actually sticks as, again, you know, federal laws are changing and subsidies are changing around different products and those
projects,
type of things.
Yep.
So let's just be patient and see where our future takes us. And we've talked about this before, like, you know, what is Clinton County in 10 years, in 15 years, 20 years?
You, when your kids are 20.
Yeah. Are they, is it, you know, if we're 33,000 to 35,000 now, is that 40? Is that 45? Is that 50? Like, you know, where do we want to be on that realm? But like we talked about, and I'll kind of circle back to that, you know, in terms of bringing people here, I think it's about smart growth in terms of utilizing our small towns and then obviously the city of Frankfort and growing around those, Kirkland, Mulberry, Rossville, Colfax, Michigantown. Some of those have a little more opportunity than others to grow, but that's where we need, and then obviously Frankfort as well, is where we need to be growing the people around those places.
And the opportunity of, you know, working with them as Frankfort, the city, you know, with wastewater and a pretty strong wastewater plant. How do we, you know, maybe create wastewater districts? How do we focus on connecting those dots? Because Clinton County, I think people don't realize, Clinton County, we are very blessed to have the smaller communities as strong as they are. Because they're pretty strong. Our little small communities are strong, and they have their pride. They're excited about their communities, and they want to see good growth. And every one of our little communities has some kind of a gem in it. Not to be cliche us with the gym city, but we're a gym county. We have a lot of little pieces that shine, and I think that's what's so exciting about the future is being able to connect all the dots to make Clinton County this really one place card where people can just go and live, because that's what we're trying to draw, live, but they can have a great job, they have a great place to play, they have a great educational system and hospital and medical care, all those things. And not everything is perfect by a far stretch, but every day we get a little closer.
Yeah. And that goes back to what, again, I always use this term, like, I live in my bubble. And I think we all do to some degree, but I definitely live in my bubble. And I try and get outside that and see it from other people's perspectives. But, you know, last weekend, my wife and I, we take our kids to a park down in Carmel. It's 25 minutes from our house. Grab something to eat, and boom, we're back at our house.
Yep.
And now we have
in a safe environment.
Safe. We have the tranquility, you know, the crops around us where we want to be. But we went and spent 3 hours and got down there, ate, played at the park, and boom, we're right back. And now we're at home rather than when I saw it. And I mean, I've thought this before. I'm driving by house that has, you know, less than a quarter of acre, and they look out their window and they see their neighbor, where I look out the window and
see
don't
corn.
Have to see a neighbor.
and some people like neighbors. I mean, and that, not that neighbors are bad. I'm just saying some people like to be close and some don't. And I think that's the difference of the urban, rural, the urban, suburban, and rural. And we're trying to stay as rural as possible, but yet have the amenities and again, the closeness, the geographical location of where we are, I think is just a beautiful place. I look at it as more of a plus than I do a minus. The minus side is it is challenging because small businesses struggle a little bit because they're battling against the big boys a lot because they're 15 minutes away, 20 yeah. minutes away, 30 minutes away. And so that's really the for more important, it's even more importantly, I believe, to be loyal and try to focus on, I want to support the local. It may cost me a dollar more. It may cost me $2 more, but I'm going to pay that in gas. So let me support the local people that are paying the taxes that are keeping my way of life really strong.
Yeah. So, and you know, I said this before. I said it in our meeting earlier this week in terms of economic development and growth. It's that balance between, yeah, we have to be willing and able to grow, but we can't forget about those businesses that are right. here now, right? Like, and that was, it somewhat was more driven off employees, because as you know, more than anyone, that's the number one complaint you hear from every business in our community is there's no workforce.
3.8% unemployment.
Well, if we bring in a new business, now who are they going to compete with? The current businesses for people, unless we have more people. And so
Lily's already taken people.
Yeah, we've talked about that. And so we can't forget about those that have been in our community and supported for 10, 20, whatever the number of years is, just to lure this new shiny object, right? Like it's that balance of, hey, we still value you here, current industrial partners, right. current small businesses, and not saying we're not looking to grow as well,
right?
But we can't forget about them.
Make sure it's the right way.
Yeah.
All right, brother. It's I'm over time. They're all, Hannah is going crazy out there. But speaking of Hannah, the Barnes, we didn't mention them, but there's some great there's been some great new construction out there at the fairground.
Yep, I'll dive in more during that week. We'll see what we get the progress over the next week and where we land before the fair. We're like everyone has to understand how construction works. If you've been in construction, whether it's in a home or whatever, there's a timeline of what we're told and there's a timeline of what actually happens, and those two just are never aligned a lot of different reasons.
And a lot of times the cost is 10 to 20% more too. Anyway.
Okay.
Hey, you're doing a great job, man. Appreciate doing the Lord's work. Keep it up.
All right.
Thanks, Jordan. Yep. Appreciate it. Jordan Brewer with us this morning, our president of our Clinton County Commissioners, also farmer and coach. He does a lot of things here in our community. We appreciate Jordan and all that he does. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. Hannah Daniels is in the house. We're going to be talking 4-H and all things fair. Coming up.